Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. Here, just recently, we had a call from some friends who have table grapes, a large number of vines and so forth, and they had more grapes than they were able to use, so they called and asked if we would be interested in the grapes. And of course, anything free we're interested in. So we went and got the grapes. They were rather small in size, and so we were not expecting a lot from them, as we I use that term, Sabrina did the work on the grapes. But we were amazed to find that, in fact, even though they were small, they were extremely juicy. And from this small amount of grapes we got, we, I think, retrieved 26 quarts of grape juice. And so we underestimated the capacity of those grapes to produce. Here, we are going to be talking this morning about the fruit of fellowship and the fact that fellowship yields some amazing things. We can sometimes tend to minimize fellowship amongst the brothers and sisters and its importance in our lives. And here, as we begin our study in chapter 31, we come off the end of a time that the people of Judah and the northern kingdom were together to celebrate Passover. And it was such a wonderful time, the celebration that usually lasts a week, they ended up extending it for two. And so they were excited. They were excited to be together, excited to be in the Lord's presence, excited to have fellowship with one another. And as they were preparing to leave, Hezekiah caught a vision, that vision, if you will, of the importance of relationship. Here in verse 1 of chapter 31, we read, "Now, when all this was finished," speaking of that celebration, "all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim also and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his own possession into their cities." So in that very first verse, what we see is one of the first results of that time of fellowship with one another and with the Lord, that fellowship yielded fidelity, this idea of the people wanting to be single-minded, if you will. They wanted to rid themselves of the idols, of the idolatry that was going on in the land, and they knew that that was important. Compromise had seeped in because of previous kings. Hezekiah's father was not a godly king. And as a result of that, the idolatry had seeped back into the land. Hezekiah had begun a reform, but it was still incomplete. And now, on the heels of this celebration, they answered the question, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." They decided that they wanted to wholeheartedly serve the God of Israel. And it was the result of spending time with God and God's people. You know, as we're here today, as we spend this time in the sanctuary, this time is important for us because it is important not only to worship the Lord and to get into his word, but to be connected with one another. The Lord loves it when his people fellowship. He wants us to do that regularly. And that's why in the national life of Israel, they were called three times a year to come to Jerusalem as a people to celebrate, because he knew the importance of connectedness. You see, the idea here is the closer that we draw to God, the more clearly we'll see our lives. The closer we grow to him, the more he will reveal to us as we look into the mirror of his word, those things which we perhaps need to eliminate from our lives, but also those things which he would have us add to our lives. The idea of taking off one thing and putting on another. That's how our God is so faithful. And so the people did this marvelous work, and on the heels of this work, then they went back to their homes and entered back into daily life. Now, if you've had a mountaintop experience, if you've gone somewhere and gotten in the Lord's presence and just had a wonderful time with him, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a mountaintop experience. But the one thing we know is that when we come from that mountaintop experience, we ultimately go back home. We go back to the valley, if you will, and it's easy for us to slide back into the old ways. It's easiest to slide back into the old habits. And Hezekiah did not want to see that happen. In verse 2, we read, Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So in this verse, as we begin this section, we see that fellowship yields first fruits. It yields first fruits. Hezekiah knew the importance of having a full ministry going on there to help the people avoid going back to the old ways. And so he mobilizes, if you will, the priests and the Levites to carry on that ministry. They were reestablished to assure that continued obedience to God's directives. Now, see, Hezekiah understood that it was important to have the moral framework, the religious, if you will, framework in place in order to continue in growth and maturation in their relationship with the God of heaven. The focus is the one of consecration, which simply means being set aside, being dedicated to something. God wants us to be consecrated, wants us to be dedicated to him, if you will, to be single-minded, to be focused upon him, because as we find ourselves in that place, then it takes us into this desire to have koinonia. We talk about a koinonia meal, but koinonia is about fellowship. It's about getting together with one another. It doesn't have to necessarily be all about eating, although it can be sometimes, but the idea of coming into fellowship, and as we are fellowshipping, then it motivates us to get into service. The idea of we see a need, and so we step out and meet it. When we're in fellowship with one another, when we are doing the work of ministry, God tugs on our hearts, and he says, I have this for you to do. Will you do that? And we need to be like Isaiah. Here I am. You know, Lord, send me. I want to do it. I want to do the work of ministry. I want to answer the call, because as we do that, it unleashes an amazing amount of power, spiritual power. And as we see God work in our lives and the lives of those around us, man, it generates within us a heart of thanksgiving, because we realize that it isn't anything in us. It's nothing that we possess. It's nothing that we have, no talent, no ability, nothing like that. It's God's grace, God's mercy, God's power that achieves anything. And as we serve him, as we minister into the lives of people and situations, then it leads to a full circle back to the praise of God. Because not only do we praise him, but the people praise him because they realize that it's God at work. And so he establishes this priesthood. He appointed, verse 3, also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings. You remember the burnt offering was the offering of consecration, of dedication. And it was a sign, if you will, that the offerer wanted to be wholly dedicated to the Lord. And the evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So the giving began with Hezekiah. Hezekiah gave of his substance that the sacrifices might be reestablished, because he understood his obligation and visibility. He set the example, if you will, just like parents try to do for their children, setting the example. He set the example, and then he called the people to follow. It says there in verse 4, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. See, it was the responsibility of the people of Israel to give so that the priests could live. so that they would have food to eat and so forth. But interestingly, we find that they weren't being taken care of up to this point, at least not well. Verse 5, as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the priest came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people. So the people responded to Hezekiah's call, number one, because they saw that Hezekiah was leading the way. He was doing the work. He was ministering to the priests out of his own substance. And then he challenges them to essentially do as I do. Paul did that, did he not? He said, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. I've set the example, now follow that example. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. The people responded and brought in the first fruits of their labor. And it says there was an abundance. You know, God is no man's debtor. He is going to bless the works of your hands. He's going to outgive us every time. And they went beyond in their giving, not only to bring the first fruits of their harvest. At this time would have been like May, June. It would have been around the time of Pentecost the time of harvest and bringing in the first fruits of their harvest. And so not only did they bring the harvest in, they also brought of their livestock and all of that. So they went beyond what God had called them to do through Hezekiah. And he goes on in verse 9, then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps, those things which were extra beyond what they were able to use. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offering into the house of the Lord, check this out, we have had enough to eat. In other words, before that time, they had not had enough to eat. And we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought them in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was next. So here we see that fellowship yields abundance. We're blessed. I'm blessed by having fellowship with you. I come away enriched. I come away, if you will, with an abundance. And I want to encourage you to develop relationships with one another, because those with whom we have a relationship can pour into our lives those things which we do not possess. We're all different. We all have different things to offer. And so they were blessed by the fellowship. You know, Hezekiah checked on the welfare of the priests, and the priests were diligent. I love this. The priests were diligent to minister, even though they were in lack. I remember years ago Chuck Smith was sharing a story about their early ministry. And they actually lived for a time behind the baptistry in the church. And then he would go out and he would drive. He used to go and pick up bodies, people who had passed away, and drive them to the mortuary. And they'd pay him like $25 to do that. And that's how they subsisted for some period of time. You know, so we see people ministering in places where they have great need. We have third world countries where pastors are faithfully serving and basically barely surviving, but they're trusting the Lord to meet their needs. Hezekiah was conscious of that, and the needs of the ministry as a result of Hezekiah's work were met by the people of God. But that is always the way. The principle is where God guides, he provides. And he will. He will always provide. Don't give up. If you find yourself in that place of need, He has the key to the heavenly storehouse. Just go to him and seek his face and allow him then to provide the very things that you need. How many times has the Lord met a need when we thought that it was not possible, and then all of a sudden there it was? By his hand, by his grace, by his mercy. Faithful use and storage of God's resources is important. We want to be good stewards of what he has given us. In verse 13, and Jehiel and Azaziah and Nahath and Azahel and Jeremoth and Jozabad and Eliel and Ismachiah and Mahath and Benaiah were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei, his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king, and Azariah, the ruler of the house of God, and Koreh, the son of Imnah, the Levite, the porter toward the east, was over the freewill offerings of God to distribute the oblations of the Lord and the most holy things. And next to him were Eden and Meniamin and Yeshua, Shemaiah and Amariah and Shechaniah in the cities of the priests, in their set office to give to their brethren by courses as well as to the great as to the small. Besides their genealogy of males from 3 years old and upward, even unto every one that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges according to their courses, both to the genealogy of the priests by the house of their fathers, and the Levites from 20 years old and upward in their charges by their courses, and to the genealogy of their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of the cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests, and in all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. So here in these verses, we see that fellowship yields support. Support. In verse 13, we see God calling individuals for various service. Now listen, we've talked about this a lot, but it's so important that we get a handle upon the spiritual gifts and their importance in our lives. To realize that every single one of us who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ has been gifted spiritually. Not only have we been given salvation, but we've been given a spiritual gift or gifts that God then wants to use for his glory in the lives of others. And every one of us here need to know and understand that's the truth. We have a list here of those who are overseeing the temple ministry. But make no mistake about it, God has a list and your name is on it. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, your name is on it. And beside your name, there is a gift. And that gift is to be exercised to do the work of ministry to which he has called you. Ephesians 2 tells us that. Ephesians 2:10, he says that there are works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, from before the foundation of the world, he knew you. He knew you were going to come to know Jesus. He assigned works for you to do. Our task is to be available to do those works. Our task is to search out the reality of what our gift is or gifts are. We could do that in a number of ways. One is to simply talk to those around us. They can oftentimes see what my gift is, what your gift is. And they'll say, oh, make no mistake, your gift is encouragement, or your gift is helps, or your gift is giving, or your gift is faith. There's so many gifts available to us. As a matter of fact, check this out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, it tells us something. Beyond the fact that we've been given gifts, it tells us that we are to earnestly desire the greater gifts, which means that it's okay for us to ask for more than what we've been given. If we're asking for the glory of God, the gift of prophecy, the gift of the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, whatever it happens to be, Lord, I want to move in that realm. and then wait upon him, allow him to open and close those doors. Lord, I want to have the gift of faith. I want to see those mountains moved, Lord. It's an exciting journey as we see God unfolding his plan in our lives. God has a list and your name is on it. But also we see here that support was given to their leaders from the very youngest years, 3 years old, up to and including the time of the years of their service. One of the things we should never minimize here, or anywhere for that matter, is the ability of young people to serve. From the very youngest years, we should be having our children help. Set up communion, empty a garbage can, you know, three-year-old, four-year-old, they can do it. They can do those things. They may not do them perfectly. They might spill a little juice or whatever, but that's okay. It'll work out. But we began to help them to see that they can be a tool in God's hands, that he wants to use them too. And then as they grow, they expand their ministry, you see. See beyond the age. We need to see beyond the age and see according to the need. We can observe them and see what God is doing in their lives. In verse 18, it says that they use the genealogies to establish the ministers. The genealogies were proof of belonging, the proof of belonging. And that's important. It was important to them to establish the family of Levi. You know, we who are in Jesus are part of a family as well. And we've been written in the genealogies, if you will. We've been written in what's called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. One writer says, on most occasions where the Lamb's Book of Life is mentioned, it refers to the register of those who have been chosen for salvation from eternity past. You know, God stands outside of time. He knows every individual that is going to pray to receive Jesus Christ. So from before the foundation of the world, their names are there. He sees it because he sees beginning to end. Every single one of us has an opportunity to come to relationship with him. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, it depends. Are you ready to invite Jesus to come into your life to change you, to make you the person that you want, that he wants you to be? Had a conversation with a young man this week. And it was really a wonderful time. But when we came to that point, are you ready to receive Jesus, to make that step? I don't know. I'm afraid. I don't want to let God down. You've heard many of those things if you've shared your faith at all. And so we left our time together without seeing him make that commitment. But I walked away with an absolute assurance that God is speaking to his heart, that the seed has been sown, that we'll meet again and have opportunity to see him make that decision. Is his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I pray to God so. But there'll be one decision that makes that determination, and that's his willingness to commit his life to Christ. And the same is true of you and me. We all have to make that decision. God stands outside of time and knows us. He knows what we were. He knows what we'll become. And I love that. He knows all of the things that we're going to do, good and bad. And I take great solace in the fact that he called me anyway, because he saw all of my mistakes, all of my sins, all of my foibles. And he says, I can use that. I can use that. And he says the same of your life and mine. We do not, we never will surprise God. He knows it all. In verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. Those last verses, we see that fellowship yields focus. Focus. Hezekiah, we're told there in verse 20, ministered good and right and truth. How our world today needs goodness. We need to exhibit goodness into the life of other people. We need to let them know that God is good all the time and that he loves them with an unfailing love. He ministered right. You know, one of the greatest possessions we have is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the reality that truth is fixed. It is not relative. It is absolutely fixed because truth is a person. It's not a philosophy. Jesus said, I am the truth. You need to know the truth. Look at me. We stand on a firm foundation of right. You could say righteousness. We've been made righteous because of what Jesus did for us. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I don't feel very right, very righteous. And yet I know that it is an unfailing gift that he's given me, not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. He became sin for us that who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. And so we stand in that right place. And he says, good, right, and truth. Speak the truth today, guys. Speak the truth in love to those around you. Sometimes they won't receive it well, but don't shy away from that. The world needs to know that truth is real and truth matters. It is so important in our lives because here we see that is the fruit of focus. But on what was Hezekiah focused? It says here that he did what was truth, good and right and truth before the Lord his God, Jehovah. Jehovah was his focus. That became the life flow into Hezekiah's life and from Hezekiah's life then into the lives of all of those who were there in Judah. It made a difference. It made a difference to the nation. It made a difference to the people. It made a difference to Hezekiah personally. We have to ask ourselves a question, do we not? What is my focus today? Is it the midterms? Is it the economy? Is it the wars and rumors of wars around the world? Is it the relationships that we have around us that are faltering? What is our focus? Our focus needs to be the one who made heaven and earth. Our focus needs to be on the God of heaven. All of those other things are ancillary. All of those other things will come into alignment as we get into the place that we need to be in our relationship with the God of heaven. Because as we pour out our hearts to him about those things, about our heart, we do need to be praying for our nation and our leaders and all of that. But that's not the emphasis. That's not the primary. The primary is our personal relationship with the God of heaven, because as we draw closer to him, we see those things around us more clearly as well. Not only do we see our lives more clearly, we see what's going on around us because we see beyond the material into the spiritual. Make no mistake about it. The things that are going on in our country has nothing to do with politics, has everything to do with the spiritual realm. It is the evil one. He is pulling out all the stops to mar God's design as much as he can. And we need to recognize that. If we recognize that, we can then overcome that darkness with the light of truth, right? So we just speak the truth. Speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. In verse 21, it tells us that the ministries that he undertook were done with not only commitment, but passion. It wasn't kind of a hope-so kind of approach. Well, I hope it'll be okay. I hope I can do this. I hope we'll have victory. No, we have the victory. It's done. We need to move in that power. And we have that commitment. Jesus, I know you did it all. And I know that you're in within me. And I know that I can do that which you've called me to do. And I want to do it not with a hope so, but with a no so. I want to do it with passion, Lord. I want to have the same passion in my service for you, Lord, that the world has in their passion for their own selfish pursuits. And beyond that, Hezekiah did those things, it says, what? To seek his God. Purpose, to seek your God daily, to spend time with him in the morning, in the early morning hours, in the morning before you head off to work, in your car, at lunch. You know, instead of opening up the Inquirer in the aisle there while you're waiting to check out, open your Bible and read it. I mean, it's amazing. It starts all sorts of interesting conversations. And so we have to choose how we're going to focus. It was truly personal for him. And what was the result? Well, how did that chapter close out? And he what? Prospered. Prospered. Every single one of us, I believe, sitting here would say, we want to prosper. We want to prosper in life. Hezekiah has given us the key. We need to have that fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with one another in these days. As we do, we will be changed, and the world will be changed as well around us. Fellowship yields good things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your loving kindness in our lives. We're so very grateful, Lord, for your word and the treasure it is, Father, as we unpack it together, Lord, as you bring revelation to us, even as we heard earlier today. It has to be a work of your Spirit, Lord. And we invite you to do that work. Continue to reveal yourself, your word, in ever-increasing fashion, Lord. Might we have a hunger for your word and a hunger for more of you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one within the hearing of this teaching, Lord. That you would minister to each soul, that you would bring fresh wind, fresh fire, Lord. Indeed, may the Lord bring fresh wind, fresh fire into your life as you seek after him with passion. For his word declares that you will find him when you seek for him with all your heart. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.